Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots of time to answer your questions, so please call us, 888-302-3684. We're waiting for you. We're live. And we're going to provide you with hopefully some useful health information, information that can have an impact on you personally, on your loved ones. And among the subjects that we're going to touch upon today, we're going to talk about some fascinating new studies on high-dose intravenous vitamin C. We're also going to talk about the microbiome in the wake of the recognition that microbiome is very important. That is the stuff that lives inside us and on us, the bacteria, the fungi, the viruses. They are part of our own personal ecosystem. The American Museum of Natural History launched a new exhibit, and I was there at the debut this week, and I'll tell you about it. It's on the microbiome. Wow, pretty exciting. All right, before we get to your phone calls, 888-302-3684. You've often heard the old adage, everything in moderation, right? You know, there's even an expression, the only thing he was extreme in was in his moderation. And that may apply to some of you. And for some of us, that's a guideline. You know, it's like, don't get carried away. Don't get too extreme. You know, there's all these fads, you know, the gluten-free fad and the low-carb fad. And, you know, let's not turn ourselves into pretzels. Being super careful about diet. It's okay to have an occasional snack, dessert, pizza. No big deal. Eat a wide variety of foods. That's the main thing. That's sometimes the diet advice that's purveyed in the mainstream here in this country. And part of it's political, because if you stigmatize one type of food in the dietary guidelines, you know, say don't eat, you know, dairy, don't eat meat, you know, the various industries will suffer. So for the sake of commerce, we sometimes say, well, you know, eat a balanced diet, you know, have a little bit of soda, no big deal, just keep it under wraps. And, you know, exercise, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And in fact, you know, this harkens back to something that I remember and something that baby boomers remember. If you were born after 1964, you won't have any recollection of this. The presidential campaign of Barry Goldwater, a conservative icon, and he had a very famous aphorism. He said, "Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice." And after he said that, he lost resoundingly in the election. It was one of the biggest landslides in American political history, because he thereby labeled himself an extremist. There's nothing worse than an extremist. We all want to be moderate and balanced in our approach. And so they said he was a nut. He was a right-wing wing nut. And so he lost the election. But this everything in moderation diet advice, according to a new study, may not be so good after all. Headline, everything in moderation diet advice may lead to poor metabolic health in U.S. adults. This comes to us from the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston, reported on in Science Daily. Diet diversity, as defined by less similarity among the foods people eat, may be linked to poorer diet quality and worse metabolic health. In other words, you eat a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, just make sure you mix it up. Don't get too extreme. That turns out not to be so good. The story says, eat everything in moderation. It's been a longstanding dietary recommendation, but without much evidence to support it. So they did a study where they analyzed the diet diversity of a wide variety of participants. They looked at 6,800 participants in the study, and they looked at all the different foods that they ate in a week and the distribution of calories among different types of foods consumed. And what they found was that more diversity in the diet was not linked to better outcomes. Participants had the greatest food dissimilarity. In other words, they ate all over the place. actually experienced more central weight gain. That's adiposity around the midsection or fat gut, with a 120% greater increase in waist circumference than participants with the lowest food dissimilarity. So, and I think about my diet, and I kind of hew to the straight and narrow. I have a relatively, you know, I eat a lot of vegetables and different fruits, but I don't go off the ranch too much in my eating. People who had greater diversity in their diets were eating less healthy foods, less fruits and vegetables, more unhealthy foods, such as processed meats, desserts, and soda. And so therefore, Americans with the healthiest diets actually eat a relatively small range of healthy foods. So their dietary extremism, as opposed to moderation, maybe no vice. So we can borrow and paraphrase from the late, great Barry Goldwater, extremism in the defense of health, maybe no vice. And this article, also from Science Daily, even a little is too much. You know, you may say, well, I'll have an indulgence here and there. You know, it's no big, because most of the time I eat pretty healthy. But then, you know, on weekends, you know, or, you know, sometimes, you know, I go out to eat a little, you know. Let me let loose a little bit. Headline, even a little is too much. One junk food snack triggers signals of metabolic disease. And this has been demonstrated in other studies. But in some people, just one high-calorie shake was enough to make people with metabolic disease worse. While in others, relatively short periods of overeating trigger the beginnings of metabolic disease. So what they found, they looked at experimental volunteers, 10 healthy male volunteers. They were given a snack diet consisting of an additional 1,300 calories per day in the form of sweets and salty, savory products such as candy bars, tarts, peanuts, and potato chips. And what they found is in a relatively short time, their metabolisms went haywire from just a little bit extra added indulgence. So, hey, again, you know, on the other side of the coin, we have this condition, orthorexia nervosa, where people get overly obsessed with every morsel of food they put in their mouth. That's not good either, because they may live longer, but it's going to seem like a whole lot longer because it's tedious. Sticking to the straight and narrow, hewing to good dietary habits and regular exercise habits, that's the way to go. All right. Let's take a call now from Courtney, who's in Albany, New York. How you doing, Courtney?
Hi. How are you, Dr. Hoffman?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just have a question for you and your opinion on the use of therapeutic essential oils and if they're... if it affects estrogen in someone like me who's had an estrogen positive breast cancer,
mm-hmm. Which ones are you thinking of using?
Stay away from. I do use frankincense, and I'm comfortable using that. But I've also read about thyme.
Okay.
And I don't know, given that it is a plant too, and
you know, folks, this seems like a weird question. You know, like essential oils. How could that possibly have a negative impact on breast cancer? You know, because basically you're breathing the stuff in, and you know, that's probably no problem. But actually, you know, it's a pretty good question because we know that things that we put in our environment, like pest strips, which permeate the air with pesticides, you know, some of these deodorizer products, you know, sprays and some of these things you plug into a socket, and they release chemicals which are xenoestrogens. They're hormone mimics. That can actually make things worse. So well that you might ask that question. Actually, it does apply to a couple of things that sometimes are applied to the skin. One thing, and you know, interestingly, that may have a bit of an estrogenic effect or hormonal effect is tea tree oil for some reason. But you know, that's probably not something you're going to put in a you know, aromatic oil. But it might be something that you would use for say acne. Or, you know, it's often used for that. Well, there's actually some reports of that having, when applied daily, it permeates the skin. It may have an estrogenic effect. But among the oils, the ones that you mentioned actually have anti-inflammatory effects. You know, thyme is an anti-inflammatory. And I think you might want to check into lavender, because lavender, while it's a pleasant oil, it may, I'm going to have to do a little research on this, it may have an estrogenic impact on the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't usually use lavender, but frankincense I use in
medicine. Frankincense should be fine, because I would actually take oral boswellan, which is an extract of frankincense, which is a wonderful natural anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer agent. It seems to have beneficial effects. Okay.
So thyme would be along that line, and I would feel comfortable using it if I chose to also?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. That's wonderful.
And, what is very healing is something called tincture of thyme.
Okay.
And that's a play on words. In other words, let just let a couple of years pass and you'll be fine.
No, I get it.
Okay.
But okay. I'll look into that. Thank you very
much.
Thanks
for your good question, and all the best to you. Good luck.
Thanks.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 if you want to get through with phone calls. If you can't call now and you have a question, you can email us to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. We won't send you an answer, but we will use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla. And if you listen in, you will likely hear your question answered in detail. You can find those podcasts at drhoffman.com. All right. I've got incredible photographic memory, but only for medical facts. If you ask me the name of the actors in a movie that I saw last month, I'll stumble. Difficult. I say, well, it starts with an S. You know, was it Benedict Cumberbatch, or who was that? God, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. When it comes to medical stuff, I am dead on, because with the previous caller, she asked about an obscure question: essential oils, could they be estrogenic? And I recalled a study that I had read in the New England Journal of Medicine. And through the miracle of the Internet, I have that study in front of me. Looked it up during the commercial break. 2007, prepubertal gynecomastia linked to lavender and tea tree oils. Okay, in this case, three boys showed up, and they had abnormal breast growth. This happens very commonly in young boys at puberty. But the boys were applying lavender and tea tree oil to their faces to treat their acne. And in these cases, the gynecomastia rapidly resolved in each patient shortly after the use of the products containing these oils. Analysis of the oils found that they had estrogenic and anti-androgenic activities, and therefore the conclusion was don't apply lavender and tea tree oil to your skin, or possibly breathe it if you're concerned about estrogenic effects. All right? Yeah. But factoid that I stored away somewhere deep in the creases of my brain to regurgitate for you. All right. Let's talk now to Steve in New Jersey. How you doing, Steve?
Very well, son. Dr. Hoffman, great show. I've had a problem, maybe it's been on about 5, 6, 7 months, with this piriformis syndrome. You know,
you literally have a pain in the butt. That's what you have.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. I've been there, done that.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's nasty.
I've gone to the internet, stretches. I know a chiropractor, he really didn't help. I don't know what else to do.
I think that's the main way that you can address that is through proper stretching and through chiropractic, I think is a good way to try and release that. And if not, consider acupuncture. And at the very worst, you could go to a physiatrist, and sometimes you get a little injection of an anesthetic, possibly with a little steroid mixed in. Not that I'm a big fan of those injections, but for intractable pain, sometimes that breaks the cycle of pain. Now, the other thing that happens when you have spasm is you may be low in magnesium. So taking higher doses of magnesium is helpful, and lots more fish oil will reduce inflammation. And that may be helpful for that tissue. But you got to mobilize it, get the right physical therapy, because it's a vicious cycle. You know, the area in pain isn't spasm. It doesn't get proper blood flow. That increases the spasm, and it just gets all locked up. And you need to sort of unravel that, promote circulation, apply heat. That could be helpful as well. Even ultrasound, that might be, you know, something a physical therapist could administer. You will break the cycle. You will get rid of that pain in the butt. It's you got to believe, because that's it's sometimes a long-standing condition, but it's going to go away. It is virtually always self-limited. It's just you got a bad case of it. All right, this item comes to us from several sources. You know, I'm a big advocate of intravenous vitamin C in the treatment of cancer, and we're going to talk about this to a little greater extent when we return from the break. IV vitamin C has been shown to be helpful against certain resistant forms of cancer. That story when we return on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
The best things in life are free. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. And that's important in today's toxic world. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. Ohira's Probiotics has prided itself on purity that creates this certified vegetarian whole food supplement. The nourishing prebiotic culture medium in Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is comprised exclusively of pure spring water, fruits, wild vegetables, mushrooms, and seaweed. This carefully balanced and perfectly blended composition goes through a 3-year fermentation process, allowing it to maximize the natural health-promoting properties of each restorative ingredient. The final result? Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is an organic living fusion that merges and encourages the evolution of your own exclusive internal bacteria, helping to support a healthy digestive system. Discover the Dr. Ohira difference and live free. Look for Dr. Ohira's Probiotics at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
By the way, big article in this week's Intelligent Medicine newsletter. If you don't subscribe already, please go to drhoffman.com and give us your email, and we'll send it out to you every week. 14 supplements you should never take. You know, we often weigh in on medications and their harmful downsides, but there's some supplements out there that are bogus and even worse, harmful. We take names and kick some you-know-what. In a hard-hitting article this week at drhoffman.com. You can check it out at the website as well. All right, talking about intravenous vitamin C, this is something that I've been doing for pretty near the full 30 years that I've been in practice. And when I first started it, I was really a renegade. It was thought to be, that's pretty quacky therapy to administer high-dose IV vitamin C when you can just take ordinary oral vitamin C. Take as much as you want. Take 10 pills or 20 pills or 30 pills Linus Pauling was wont to recommend that people do. He said, take vitamin C to bowel tolerance. But the effects of vitamin C when taken orally are different than when given intravenously. You can administer super high doses, the equivalent to a person eating 300 oranges. That would be burdensome, to say the least. And the conventional wisdom is that vitamin C improves health because it acts as an antioxidant, and it does when taken orally, maybe a gram or two or three a day, and it delays cell damage as such. It combats free radicals. But when given intravenously, vitamin C acts as a potent free radical inducer. Now, you may say, well, why is that good? Well, that's actually a mechanism by which the body fights infections and fights cancer. And so, okay, great in theory, but where's the beef? The scientific world was taken by storm this week because there's an article in, excuse me, the most mainstream scientific journal around called Science. It's a very, very sophisticated medical journal. And the new study reports that vitamin C can kill tumor cells that carry a common cancer-causing mutation that makes it very, very hard for chemotherapy drugs to work. This is called a BRAF mutation. That's a little technical, but doctors who treat cancer know what that is. It turns out that if these findings hold up, researchers may have found a way to treat a large type of tumors that have, for which we lack effective drugs. Because what do we do once chemotherapy is no longer effective and tumors become chemo-resistant? IV vitamin C, look, and I've used it. It's not like a panacea for every form of cancer. Let's get that off the table right away. But is it a valuable tool against cancer? No question in my mind. High dose intravenous vitamin C. It's now under trial in various medical centers. More research is underway. We've been doing it for 25 years. And according to this latest study, high levels of vitamin C kill certain types of colon cancer cells that would normally be resistant. They carry the KRAS or BRAF mutation that makes it very hard for them to be treated. So how does that work? Again, the vitamin C acts as kind of a like a magic bullet that literally blows up cancer cells. Conventional cells are more resistant to the oxidant effects of high-dose vitamin C, and cancer cells more vulnerable, and therefore the high doses are harmless to normal cells, but can have a potent effect against cancer cells. This the latest research in Science, and this really deserves more attention. How many doctors have been persecuted or ridiculed, Linus Pauling included, for advocating vitamin C for cancer? That's been going on for decades. And finally, we're being vindicated. Okay, let's talk now to Diane. You've been very patient. Thanks for hanging in there.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm 69, and I've never had anything serious, you know, except, of course, arthritis in my knee. But I had a colonoscopy, and the doctor said he burned out a precancerous polyp, and there was one also, but it was too small to deal with, and I had diverticulosis a little bit. And I'm just wondering, how can I stop this?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Let me just comment on that. When they say they burned out a precancerous tumor, you know, they say that it was precancerous, but by no means all colon polyps are precancerous. And unless they biopsied it and they found that there was a high degree of what's called dysplasia in it, it may be that it's not really a harbinger of colon cancer. However, because polyps from time to time are precursors of cancer, generally, if you have a polyp, they'll remove it. They may study it or they may just burn it out. It's better if they study it and determine if there's something in it. But I guess in this case, I don't know if there was even a, you know, tissue pathology. I hope there would be. But then they schedule colonoscopy a little sooner than they ordinarily would if you'd had a clean colonoscopy. Maybe you can go 7 years or 9 years if you have a normal or clean colonoscopy with no abnormalities. But if you have a polyp, they'll want you to come back in a couple of years just to make sure nothing's growing back. Now, I've worked through this scenario with a lot of patients, and what's fantastic is I don't think I can recall a single case where our protocol has failed to prevent polyps from returning. So what do you do? Well, latest findings are that aspirin may actually have a preventive effect against colon cancer. So if you can tolerate aspirin, fine. If it bothers your esophagus, if it gives you heartburn or gastritis, don't take it. But aspirin definitely, I mean, even though it's a medication, why not use a medication if there's proof that it's efficacious against preventing colon cancer? There's really something to it. Vitamin D. Make sure your vitamin D is at least 50 or 60, because vitamin D has been shown to have a protective effect. Most people have vitamin D's far lower than that. Selenium is helpful against colon cancer, and you can use 200 micrograms easily. Something called DIM, which is an extract of cabbage family, very helpful against early precancers. It's helpful against cervical changes that lead to cancer. It's helpful against Barrett's esophagus, which is another type of gastrointestinal precancer. SGS, the product is called Broccomax. It's another derivative of broccoli, which is helpful, developed at Johns Hopkins, but it's an anti-cancer compound par excellence. Turmeric could be helpful. EGCG from green tea could also be protective. Vitamin E, but particularly the gamma tocopherol form of vitamin E, could be helpful. I just recently did a column on colon cancer prevention, and vitamin E scored highly, but not, vitamin E succinate or just plain alpha tocopherol. It has to be mixed tocopherol rich in gamma tocopherol. Probiotics, because the environment in your intestine influences whether you're likely to get cancer, and it's if you have bad bacteria, they create chronic inflammation that may lead to cancer, or they may release certain toxic metabolites that literally poison the intestine and can cause mutations leading to cancer. So you want to make sure you take good probiotics. The one I would recommend in this case is a new probiotic by the same company that makes Dr. Ahira's probiotic. It's called RegActive, and I would take the liver detoxifying formula. That would be appropriate for the situation. And from a lifestyle standpoint, make sure you're not constipated. Make sure you eat a lot of foods that contain fiber and prebiotics. Foods like artichoke and foods like avocado. Not necessarily, Metamucil, because that's not actually been shown to prevent colon cancer. Will help you to move your bowels. But, fresh fruits and vegetables that are rich in soluble fibers, that would be the ticket for prevention for you. That's what I would suggest. Okay?
Dr. Thanks Hoffman?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What about, instead of aspirin, what about fish oil?
And fish oil, too. Thank you for reminding me. Fish oil, too, has a preventive effect. It's been shown that fish oil reduces inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract. Inflammation is something that may lead to cancer, and definitely I would think fish will be part of that protocol. So thank you for reminding me. All right, let's talk to Dell. How you doing, Dell? Hello, Dell.
Hi.
Are you there?
I'm here. Hello?
Yeah, this is Dr. Hoffman. How you doing? You're on the show.
Yes. You use the term splotches to describe discolorations on the feet?
Yeah.
As an extension of edema?
Yeah.
What's the medical term for that, splotches?
I'm not sure what you're describing. If you have discolorations around the ankles, they sometimes refer to this as brawny edema or vascular dermatitis, which is due to poor circulation to the feet and ankles. And that's something that occurs when you have venous insufficiency. You have, your veins don't pump the blood back to the heart. Okay.
Well, these are like discolorations, and they swell a little, and they become crusted.
Okay. Well, I'm not, it's a little, unfortunately, radio is not the best medium for, dealing with dermatological conditions. It's, a doctor would have to see it, or I'd have to see it to weigh in on it. Have you been to a dermatologist on it?
I just got it. So, you get swollen feet, and then a week or so later, you get these discolorations.
Okay, I think that's what I'm thinking. That's what you have. You have like some sort of vein problem, and so things that help. I mean, clearly, you could use support hose stockings. The custom-made ones are better than the store-bought kind. You could use pycnogenol. Lately, we've been talking about oligonol as a circulatory enhancer. Butcher's broom. You could also use something called Vein PF, which contains diosmin. That's a product by Jarrow. We stock it at drhoffman.com. And, you know, also white oak bark is helpful. Horse chestnut is helpful. These are some of the things that help venous stasis. But also, you know, walking and, you know, not overdoing it, not heavy-duty running, because that can actually make things worse, but walking will actually help to relieve that. Sounds like that's what you have. You know, I'm doing my best to visualize what it is, but it sounds like that's what you're describing. And it sometimes results in, like, brownish or rust-colored deposits. Those are the result of blood literally leaking into the skin, and blood can leave a tattoo in your skin. It's not like a nice design tattoo. It's a splotchy tattoo. You know, brownish discoloration is due to the iron from the blood that leaks through your capillaries into your skin, and it leads to a brownish discoloration. Then that's maybe what you're describing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to Intelligent Medicine.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we got a caller from Nassau County, New York. Marianne, how you doing?
I'm well. I'm calling for my husband, who's 73.
Yeah.
He had a blood test about 2 months ago and a urine analysis, and he came up with a very high figure for microalbumin ratio, yeah, which was 309.
Mm-hmm.
And his doctor said something about if this continues, he may need to go on dialysis.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Which was scary.
Yeah, that's a little scary. Yeah,
to say the least.
Sure. Well,
he is on high blood pressure medication and cholesterol, and he also takes pills for myasthenia gravis.
Okay, so here's the deal. This microalbumin test, by the way, they're part of a regular blood panel. Is you check your albumin. The albumin is the protein that is in your blood. And when you look at microalbumin, it's a very sensitive test for protein in your urine. that shouldn't be there. It should stay in your bloodstream and not start to leak out in your urine. The reason it starts to leak out in your urine is because your kidneys aren't filtering properly. They're literally leaking protein. And there are two main situations which cause that, diabetes and hypertension, and especially when they're poorly controlled. So the best way to address high microalbumin is to address the underlying conditions that cause it to rise, to get a person's blood pressure under control. Best way to do that is through diet and exercise, and if necessary, medication, because maybe certain people are undertreated with medication. It allows their kidneys to experience stress from the high pressure. The blood sugar, when it's high, you know, even sometimes they, patients like your husband who has high cholesterol and high blood pressure, they may say, well, you don't really have diabetes, but he may have numbers that are moving in the wrong direction on that. So he needs to be on a very clean diet. And I don't know how bad his kidney function is, but generally people with fairly conserved kidney function can consume moderately high amounts of protein. You know, the vogue is with people with kidney problems, you put them on a very low protein diet. Well, that introduces a lot of carbs. Then their weight goes up, their blood pressure goes up, and their diabetes gets worse. And that, you know, hastens the demise of their kidneys. So things that protect the kidneys under these circumstances, alpha lipoic acid is pretty helpful. Fish oil is very helpful for protecting the kidneys from further deterioration. And, you know, use that test as kind of a gauge to see whether your interventions are being successful. The main test that's going to tell you whether you need to be on dialysis is the creatinine. If the creatinine starts creeping up, it's 2, it's 3, it's 4, that means dialysis. I'm not sure what the creatinine is in this case, and it sounds like maybe that's a little extreme to say dialysis. It just suggests that his kidneys are taking a beating and he needs to make some changes. All right, I want to recommend, and especially to our listeners in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, I recently was invited as a member of the press to the opening of an exhibit at the American Museum of Natural History on the subject of the microbiome. It's high time that this has achieved recognition, and they've done a great job with an exhibit. Those of you from out of town, hey, New York's a great tourist destination, so swing by the American Museum of Natural History and look at all the dinosaurs and the dioramas there and, you know, all the artifacts. But check out the microbiome exhibit. It's called The Secret World Inside You, and you can preview it at the website of the American Museum of Natural History. And very interesting stuff there, because they're pushing back against the notion that we need to sanitize our environment, use deodorant soaps and disinfectants all the time, that this may ultimately be bad for us. It may damage our microbiome, and antibiotics particularly are a culprit. And they even talk about C-sections as being part of the problem, because in a C-section, the baby doesn't get primed with the natural bacteria in the birth canal that start things rolling in their gastrointestinal tracts and in their skin. And studies have shown that kids born via C-section versus kids born the old-fashioned way have different populations of bacteria. And that may have health implications. One interesting factoid that I gleaned from the exhibition is that if you're treated for H. pylori, Helicobacter pylori, okay, a lot of doctors, they test you for Helicobacter. They then aggressively treat you with triple antibiotics, and you get rid of your H. pylori. But if you get rid of your H. pylori, it actually increases a hormone that can stimulate appetite, and that's not good, because ghrelin goes up when Helicobacter goes down. So maybe, just maybe, in a misguided attempt to get rid of a pathogen, we set ourselves up for obesity. And there's even a section of the exhibit which points to the relationship between antibiotic use and overweight. And in the future, we may, just may, miss the holy grail of probiotic research. We may be able to identify specific probiotics which help the metabolism and help people lose weight. Lots of fascinating exhibits and interactive games at this exhibit. Bring your kids. the microbiome, the secret world inside you at the American Museum of Natural History. All right, thanks very much for joining us today. Remember, this program is but the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. We've got a newsletter. We've got great podcasts. We've got great articles at drhoffman.com. We also have a great selection of products at the store, products that are hard to get, products that we talk about here on this program. Check it out and become a more informed consumer of intelligent medicine by visiting drhoffman.com frequently, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great and healthy weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.